Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by my partners on our pre- and post-game coverage, Kendall Gill and Will Perdue. Thought we had one Monday night. The Bulls did enough to get that win against San Antonio. Mm-hmm. They were making their three-point shots for most of the game, but then sometimes you fall in love with that three-point shot and it bites you in the end.
You do, and being a young team, you don't know that, okay, that got us there, but you drive for show, putt for dough.
Yeah.
Okay, and they didn't putt for dough, meaning that Zach LaVine had an opportunity to take the ball to the basket on DeMar DeRozan, especially after he had him set up to do so, and he didn't take that opportunity. He still wanted to drive. It reminded me of 10 Cup. You remember when 10
I
Cup
was – I do remember that.
When he could
have hitting the ball. Yeah, give me another ball.
Zach keeps hitting the ball up there. Yeah. Zach, take the ball to the basket.
We have these conversations during the postgame show, you know, off air while they're in commercials. And I made the comment, it seems like almost sometimes that players are so determined to prove they can do something.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it surprisingly, what's LeBron's finish move late in games? He dribbles, step back J on the left side.
Yeah.
Now what's Jimmy Butler getting known for? Step back J on the right side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've talked about Zach. He, you know, go all the way back to the Detroit game when he got the switch on him, and he talked about, hey, I was going to take the three for the win. He had already predetermined what he wanted to do. But, you know, as we continued and we talked about it in the postgame show, you know, you live with the jumper, you die with the jumper. And I think, Kendall, you even mentioned at halftime, or Mark, maybe it was you, about, you know, they're knocking down jump shots now. Let's see if this continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it can continue till about 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and then they struggled to score.
Yeah, they were. I looked at the stat line, and they were 10 for 18 middle of the third quarter. Threes were falling. They went up by seven, and all of a sudden they're thinking that's the way we're going to win this thing. And they only make 4 out of 15 threes the rest of the way, and that's what allowed San Antonio to take control. And you could see the difference between a young team and a veteran squad. Let's be honest. The San Antonio team is a shell of what it used to be, but they still have a lot of veterans on the team. They're still a veteran coaching staff, and they have two guys who know how to handle late-game situations in Aldridge and DeRozan, and those are the guys that carried them through to the victory.
Right, and they pumped the ball down into the lane. I think that the Bulls, they beat the Bulls 56-32 or 34 in the paint tonight, and a guy who did most of the damage was LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
And the reason why he did that is because they went to him late. The Bulls switched off on him, and you have Justin Holiday who's Justin is
– giving up 6 inches.
He's giving up 6 inches, and he's not really the most physical guy down there. So LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, it was like free lunch.
Yep.
You know, the interesting thing is, as Mark talked about, his key to the game was – Wendell Carter has to stay out of foul trouble. Well, he did that in the first half.
Yeah.
And then in that third quarter, he picked up 2 quick fouls. And, I mean, he basically played 3 minutes and 12 seconds, I think, in that third quarter.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to the fourth. Picks up his fifth. They got to bring in Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
The very next two plays, Greg Popovich goes to his All-Stars. He has Lopez run up and set a screen on DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls switch. DeMar blows right by Lopez, gets a layup, no help from the weak side. The next play, they come down. They put the LaMarcus Aldridge in the mid-post. He squares Lopez up, gets him with the pump fake, and then blows right by him and finishes with the dunk. Mm-hmm. The help is late. As you talked about, great job by Greg Popovich, but it's kind of interesting. One of the attributes of Wendell Carter is his ability to guard guys out on the perimeter. But as soon as he goes out of the game, we've seen how the defense changes on a dime and teams are taking advantage of that situation. And I know he's frustrated, because he's getting into foul trouble. And, you know, and he talked to Kelly Kroll pregame about how that's kind of messing with him a little bit because it's taken away his aggressiveness. But he's still got to figure it out. He's still got to adapt. He's only 19 years old. But that, because of injuries, it's amazing how the defense is anchored by such a young guy.
But he's got to learn that he's not going to get the benefit of the whistle. I mean, there's that one sequence when he got his fourth foul. He blocked the shot on DeRozan on the initial drive. Then DeRozan reclaims the loose ball, goes out to the perimeter, gets him on a pump fake. You got to stay on your feet.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, listen, everybody sees what defensive potential that he has and that he's really, really good on the defensive end. But now he's starting to get a taste of the whole league. He hasn't been around the whole league yet. You know, and I was the one that said he's the best defender on the Bulls, and I still believe that. But now he's starting to get a taste of the top-tier guys that even though you're a good defender, they still have tricks in their basket. So what he has to do, go back, watch the tape. And then one of the things that I noticed, he has a tough time guarding 6'11" guys that have a turnaround jump shot. Same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. LaMarcus Aldridge did it to him today, froze him a couple times, like Hakeem Olajuwon used to do a lot of top centers, and he didn't really know what to do in that situation. And I'm watching him, so he has to go into watch more tape with a coach and say, listen, you guys got to show me how to defend this, because that's what most of these guys are hitting him with now. They're hitting him with the fadeaway jump shot. Before, they were trying to back him down, but he's a pretty strong kid. He wasn't allowing that. Now they go to their counter move. Oh, this works. So I'm going to still continue to do this if he's guarding me, that being shooting the turnaround jump shot.
And that's why there's so much to be made for advanced scouting, because now there's plenty of film on him.
Yep.
I mean, tonight, a lot of times when we come to the games and we sit on the floor, who's in front of us but scouts from other teams? In this case, there was probably a scout for the Milwaukee Bucks that was here, the Detroit Pistons that was here, the Houston Rockets, upcoming opponents, because they're trying to get that advanced scouting along with watching film about what a guy's strengths and weaknesses are. Now he's got 20, 21 games under his belt. There's plenty of tape out there. All the teams are watching tape. And then, like I was talking to LaMarcus Aldridge before the game, he was talking about, we have a specific scouting report now on Wendell Carter. They came walking down the hall. I'm talking to LaMarcus. I knew him, you know, worked with him when he was coming out of Texas for the draft. And I said, hey, Wendell, have you met LaMarcus? Hey, how you doing? I said, this is a guy you got to start watching some tape on.
Right.
He goes, absolutely, man. He goes, this is a guy, you know, I would like to be like later in my career. But at the same time, he walked off and LaMarcus started telling me the scouting report about shot blocker, good feet, but he goes, I got a few things for him.
What was the scouting report on Blakeney? It's going up, right?
Yeah.
He didn't need to share that.
He doesn't have to be open to shoot it.
Well, the good thing is that there could be some help on the way. Lauri Markkanen is ramping up his workouts. He's going to go through a full-scale contact practice at the Advocate Center on Tuesday. If he responds well to that, hopefully he returns to game action sometime next week, and the Bulls can certainly use him, because you like the idea of having a 6'10 Wendell Carter with a 7'4 wingspan, a legit 7-footer next to him, and Lauri Markkanen, the things they can do up front.
Yeah, and a guy that can go into pick and rolls with Zach LaVine or Chris Dunn when he returns. And a lot of this – Wendell is going to benefit from this, because a lot of the attention when Lauri finally does come back, a lot of attention once Zach comes off of that pick and roll coverage, when they run it, it's going to go to Lauri. It's going to leave Wendell wide open.
Yep.
You know, and he's pretty good now at knocking down the 15 to 18-foot jump shot. Also inside, he missed a couple easy layups today. But, you know, that happens to all players every once in a while. But he's going to have a feeding frenzy, because he's going to be wide open once Lauri comes back.
He really is. And also one of the things, because of the fact that Lauri Markkanen is such a good shooter, I remember back in the days when we played and guys that were of his caliber, you pre-rotated. You knew that when Zach came off, they were going to double to take the ball out of his hands. The opposite big was going to pre-rotate, meaning as Zach was coming off the screen, if I was the opposite guy, in this case guarding Wendell Carter Jr., I'm already on the move.
Right.
So as he's catching the ball, if Zach can pass it to him, I'm already there. So he doesn't get an uncontested shot. I'm forcing him to put it on the deck. But that's now where Wendell Carter gets the looks in front of the basket. He gets those looks from 8 to 10 feet. And all he's got to do is just catch and shoot.
Right.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime.
Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue with you. All right, so now four straight road games. Milwaukee, Detroit, Houston, Indiana. It doesn't get any easier, and I know it's been a constant theme. A lot of the beat reporters have been asking Fred, how do you keep these guys from getting down? You guys live this life. How does he keep these guys from getting down?
And this is why it's so important for Lowry to come back, because if he doesn't come back, the guys are going to feel hopeless. You know, we keep battling, and then at the end we keep coming up short. Now with the reserves coming back and the guy that you were banking on from the beginning of the season is coming back, that gives you new life. Now, okay, and then in another couple weeks, here comes Bobby Portis back. And then maybe a week after that, Chris Dunn comes back. That's how you keep the guys from going in the tank. You know, you slowly but surely bring those guys back and show them that you can be competitive as a team.
But I think it's also imperative that these guys travel, especially over these next couple games, because of the fact of the quality of the opponent that they're playing and the fact that, you're talking about, we've now lost three straight. Mm-hmm. And we talked about last week, hey, we got some games coming up against some opponents that we really should have a good chance to win. And they basically won one of them, Phoenix. So now as they've been close but haven't been able to win the games, it's hard to recover from these games as they consistently happen. Mm-hmm. But if Lowry travels – and Dunn travels, and Bobby Portis travels, and they see these guys coming in early. They see him working out. They see that they're close. They're like, listen, man, we just got to keep it together until these guys come back. Now, if these guys stay behind and the guys don't see him working, they don't know how far they are.
Right.
I walked by Bobby Portis as he was coming in. I said, close? He goes, close. I mean, we've watched him. He's running up and down the court now. He's getting his legs back. He's getting his wind back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're really focused on marketing, but you think about when we get Dunn back and when we get Portis back, now all of a sudden we're like, okay, now we're back to square one. Right. This is what we thought we had from opening day, and we move forward.
Yeah, and Fred indicated before the game that Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis are probably about a week behind Lowry. They're doing the things we talked about last week, where he's doing portions of the non-contact work during practice. He's doing some shell stuff on defense that, you know, getting a feel for being back in with the guys but not ready to go 100% full go. So if you get Markkanen back next week and Dunn and Portis right after that, then all of a sudden you'll kind of get to see what this team might be, because when you look around the NBA, it's been kind of a weird start. Obviously, with the injury to Steph Curry, Golden State is not playing at their traditional level of excellence. He's going to come back soon, and they'll take off again. I don't have any doubts about that. But you look at the standings, and you see the Clippers and the Memphis Grizzlies near the top of the West. And then you look at teams like Orlando and Sacramento around 500, teams that have been traditional bottom-enders over the last 5 to 10 years. My personal opinion is if the Bulls would have been at full strength, they would have been one of those teams
people
were talking about being a 500 or better team at this juncture.
I agree 100%, and I think that Zach's – if all those guys are back, Zach is even better than he has been throughout the season, because he won't have all of the defensive attention geared to stopping him each and every night. And with Bobby Portis coming off of the bench, and now you see Jabari Parker rounding into shape. He's been playing like the guy that we thought that the Bulls were going to get. I totally agree with you, Mark. And you look at Boston, they won tonight, but, I mean, they were playing 500 basketball.
Yeah.
Nobody's running away in the East. You know, the Milwaukee looks good, but I'm sooner
and they
later,
lost.
Yeah, they lost to a team that's pretty decent at this point, because Kemba Walker's carrying them. But you see a lot of parity in the East. You know, so that's why I feel that if the Bulls were at full strength, you're absolutely right. They'd be right there.
But like you're talking about parity, I mean, I don't know if I'm more surprised that the Celtics are they won tonight, so they're 11-10, or the Bucks are 14-6.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of the Raptors at 17-4, everybody else is kind of, you know, had what you would say a disappointing season. Even when you look at the Sixers and they're 14-8, you're like, they were one of the favorites.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, now you look at the Pacers 11-8, the Pistons 10-7, the Hornets 10-10. You know, the 500 gets you in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think, quite honestly, we would be better than 500 if this team hadn't, you know, suffered the injuries that they had. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, as poorly as things have gone, and we want to try to, and we always talk about this, what can we get positive out of this? What can we get positive out of this? And I think Mark hit on it in the postgame show. We now know who our backup point guard is.
True, right.
Archie Diacono. And he finally had that breakout game. He had gone through the previous five where he was only shooting 30%, only 31% from the three. But tonight he provided that extra score that the Bulls have been looking for. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to give us 20-plus every night, but hopefully that kind of got his confidence back from, you know, we saw that aggressiveness tonight that he had been lacking in the last couple games. Because a guy like him, when he's playing with Zach and when he's playing with Jabari, he kind of has a tendency to step back and be more of a facilitator than anything else. So it'll be interesting to see where we go moving forward from him and some of these other guys that are getting golden opportunities to play while they're waiting for these other guys to return from injury.
Yeah, hopefully we're done spinning the point guard roulette wheel. It'd be Chris Dunn as the starter with Ryan Arcidiacono. It was a very solid backup that will get solid minutes most nights. Let's take some quick hits around the league before we bring this to a close. Will, you mentioned Philadelphia. Jimmy G Buckets, the G stands for Gets, and yeah, he made that step back three. That was beautiful with the win and all that, but how would Embiid feel if he didn't get a touch if that thing clanked off the back iron?
Well, as long as Jimmy makes it, he's okay.
That's
with
what
it.
I'm saying, if it doesn't go in.
But the fact that it, you know, if it doesn't go in, especially as you talked about, only up one, yeah. you don't need a three.
Right.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, we were talking down in the press room prior to the game tonight about, do you think this thing is, there's going to be a problem at some point? There's going to be some drama because now drama seems to follow Jimmy wherever he goes.
Because Embiid, he'll sub-tweet you and tweet you to death. You know, he might not say it to your face. Yeah. He's going to get his message across.
He's going to get his message across, and, you know, I don't think Embiid would be intimidated by the antics that Jimmy Butler has pulled off in Minnesota and some of the antics that he pulled off here in Chicago. I think that he's dealing with a whole different breed of player in Philadelphia. Not only Embiid, but also Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick, a guy who's been around for a while and who really knows how to play. I think that he's going to have to respect those guys. You know, he's not going to be able to run over them like he has previously.
Speaking of Eastern Conference All-Stars, a wild game on Monday night involving Washington and the Houston Rockets. Rockets will host the Bulls coming up on Saturday, but Harden had 54, when Wall and Beal each had 30, something like that.
Right, yeah.
And there was a report earlier tonight that Bradley Beal's trying to force a trade out of Washington as soon as possible. I think that his partnership with John Wall has reached the breaking point. They probably would both each like a fresh start. The market for Beal, I'm sure, will be robust, but the price tag may be too high for any team to get him at something that they feel is a fair deal.
It may be high. However, Bradley Beal is still a very young player. 25 years old. He's an all-star. He's a guy, one of the better shooters in the league. We talked about this off camera and off whatever this is, the
off
podcast.
Mic.
Off mic.
Yeah.
But if the Lakers should offer Brandon Ingram, and if they offered a first-round pick or a second-round pick, not a first-round pick, but a second-round pick, I might do that deal. You know,
I think Washington would be asking for more. They'd probably have to include a first-round pick.
First-round pick, okay.
But I think I would still take it.
Okay, yeah, I'd still take it. But then we'll propose this. How about Kuzma and Lonzo Ball? Would you do that? I think that's a little
That'd
bit.
That'd be an interesting trade for Washington because they could kind of reset then. You get two young players.
They could. So, you know, Bradley Beal is a very, very, very good player. And I think if he went to the Los Angeles Lakers, it would change the dynamic of what they're trying to do. Then if you're the Golden State Warriors, then you have to start to worry a little bit about them.
Yeah, because LeBron said he's not the most patient guy in the world. You don't want to see me when I'm not patient, when I run out of patience. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure he would welcome a midseason addition. I mean, a lot of speculation about Anthony Davis's future, but I think that's going to extend beyond the end of the season. I don't think you see any midseason move involving AD. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side of the coin, Markelle Fultz is away from the team. He was in New York on Monday getting his shoulder checked out. 76ers have said, or it's been reported, that he's not part of their long-term future. Is it time to cash him in for pennies on the dollar, or do you want to wait and try to get him back playing again?
I think it's time to cash in, because I think that's a win-win in the sense that I think that he needs to go in another direction because of just the cloud that hangs over him and that organization because of what happened for them to trade up to get him, and it just hasn't worked out. I still think he could be a very good player, but what we don't know is, I mean, he's talking about his wrist, he's talking about his shoulder, and we don't know what's going on mentally. I mean, every time he shoots a free throw, it's a different form. He's grabbing for straws right now, and I think it'd be best if just basically put it out there that you're looking to make a trade, look for your best offer, take it, and move on.
You know, they could do Kyle Korver for Fultz straight up because that matches under the salary cap, but you'd be given the guy who was a number one pick in the draft for a guy who's, what's Kyle, 36?
37.
At the end of the day, does that make you better? I think it does because what do they need? They need perimeter shooting more than anything.
It'd be interesting to see if they cash him in for a player who's really only got a year or two left, but that's something we'll be watching as the year goes on. Do you guys see the video of Kyrie Irving doing the balancing
thing?
Yeah, I saw
that, yeah.
First of all, do you think that was real?
No.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I mean, they showed video. I saw this on SportsCenter. They were comparing it to stuff Michael Jackson used
to do. Yeah, yeah. Michael Jackson, the Smooth Criminal.
Yeah.
That video.
But that can't be real, right?
No, it can't be real. So they had some type of wire on him or something like that because – I mean, dude, if you could do that, I mean, Kyrie, if he could do that for real, then I'm going to believe what he said.
But the scary thing, too, is I was going to say, if the earth is flat, he'd fall right off. That's what he's really got to worry about.
Yeah, that guy, man.
Well, maybe that's why he is doing it, because it is flat. He keeps looking over the edge.
Well, I know you asked our national insider, Tom Hammerstein, about the Celtics, and they get back over 500 with a win on Monday. But that, you know, they moved Gordon Hayward to the bench. That's something we talked about last week. Maybe they need to do that while he's trying to search for his game. You've got guys that want the ball in their hands. Jason Tatum hasn't been quite as effective. Is there a danger that maybe this team isn't as good as we thought, or do you feel like Brad Stevens will work it out over the course of the season?
Well, I think they have they're talented to be as good as we thought they would be. As Tom said, you know, everybody penciled them in for 60-plus wins, especially being in the Eastern Conference. But the question is that are the players willing to make the necessary sacrifice? And that sacrifice is stats. Because there's no doubt about it, they have more talent than any team in the Eastern Conference. And if there is a team in the Eastern Conference that we, at least I feel, that could give the Golden State Warriors the most run for their money, it would be the talent that stacks up on the Boston Celtics. But can Brad Stevens sell these guys on the fact that less is more? If you'll take less shots, if we improve our shot selection, if we spread the wealth and everybody stop worrying about getting their touches and their numbers and we think about putting the team first, then I think that's when you see the cream rise to the top. But can he do that?
No.
KG still likes Toronto.
I still like Toronto now because I used to think they were a pretender. Now they're a contender in my eyes because of Kawhi Leonard. But with Boston, I always knew this was going to be a problem. You sometimes too much of a good thing is not a good thing, you know, and that's the case with the Boston Celtics. You have Tatum, who had a great playoff last year. Then you have Jaylen Brown, and they're probably looking around thinking, well, why should we give up? Why should I give up my minutes? You know, I know we got other players coming in here too, but look at what we did in the playoffs last year.
But also the guy that made the most noise in the playoff last year, Terry Rozier, now he it's reported that he wants a trade because he was taking the guy that was taking Gordon Hayward's Kyrie's minutes.
Right.
And now that Kyrie's back, he's back on the bench. He doesn't feel like he's getting enough minutes and he's in a contract year.
Right.
Yeah, it's an interesting juggling act for Brad Stevens. He's been hailed as one of the best young coaches in the league. He's going to have to earn every one of his dollars going forward.
Do you see Boston making a trade?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many young guys. I don't think you could give up on Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
Who
are you going to trade? Because Gordon Hayward, I don't think there'd be much of a market for him coming off that
too much
terrible
money.
Injury.
Yeah. Oh, it's just what he's being paid. Money. I mean, and then also you've got who are you going to trade? I mean, you don't want to trade the young guys because you can build around them. But then as you talk about Tatum and then Horford's contract is back-ended, he's got a lot of money left too.
So I think the odd guy out would be Jaylen Brown. Because I'm not parting ways with Tatum.
Right.
And also, if you don't plan on signing Terry Rozier to a big contract, which him and his agent have made it very clear what they want, if you're not willing to sign that, you can't let that guy go for nothing.
Yeah.
So, Bulls fans, we're not the only franchise having some issues right now. Granted, the ones here are a little more extreme because the Bulls' record now is 5-16, which is far below what anyone would have thought when they opened training camp back in late September. But Lauri Markkanen will be back soon, followed shortly thereafter by Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis. So better days ahead. Tough stretch coming up. Four straight road games. We'll have pre- and post-game coverage throughout on NBC Sports Chicago. Remember, you can find all of our Bulls Talk podcasts at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple, Stitcher, and Google Play. Until next time, so long, everybody.